I recently visited Michigan State University's Kellogg Biological Station at Hickory Corners near Battle Creek. Phil Robertson is a university distinguished professor of ecosystem science, and he was showing me some of the test plots for an upcoming environment report story. But then he also started talking about a farming method that's not very often used in Michigan, but it might be helpful in the effort to reduce the greenhouse gases that cause climate change. Here's that conversation. We're standing in front of a field here, and I see some stubble of one kind of crop and some green stuff growing in between it. What am I looking at?
We're standing in a field in the early fall. It's a wheat field. It was harvested a couple months ago, and so we're looking at wheat stubble. But in between the rows of wheat that have been harvested are green plants that are about 2 or 3 inches tall at this point, and these are clovers. This is clover that was planted into the wheat after it was harvested, and this clover will grow all fall and will be about probably ankle to calf high by the time winter sets in. The clover will overwinter, and come spring, as soon as the soil warms up and conditions get right, the clover will start growing. Probably that'll be in late March, early April. And so prior to when the corn crop is planted in late May, this clover may be, you know, as much as knee high. And at that point, it can then be mowed, and the green material, which now contains a lot of nitrogen, can provide nitrogen then to the succeeding corn crop as it decomposes over the next few weeks.
Now, that's not typical, because if you're going to grow clover and you're going to mow it, it makes good hay, right?
It does make good hay, but as a cover crop, it's typically not taken off as hay. It's typically left in the soil to provide fertility for the following cash crop.
So what's the advantage of doing something like that for both the environment and for the farmer?
For the environment, cover crops have a number of advantages. One of them is that because they are planted at a time of the year when there are no crops on the soil surface, they are pulling nitrogen out of the soil at a time when that nitrogen might otherwise just be available to be lost to the groundwater through leaching. That is, there's nothing to prevent in a plowed field or in a bare field during the wintertime as the snow accumulates on that field and then melts and pushes its way through the soil the following spring. It's carrying a lot of the nitrogen that's residual from the previous year's crop with it. And that ends up in groundwater and streams and eventually in lakes like Lake Erie or in the Gulf of Mexico if we're in a different watershed. And so the cover crop will keep some of that nitrogen in the system, which is a good thing, even if it's fixing nitrogen from the atmosphere. As these clovers are, it's still picking up nitrogen from the soil.
But that's not the only thing it's doing, right? I mean, you've got a green plant here. It's taking in CO2.
Well, that's right. It's taking in CO2, and that CO2 is being fixed into crop biomass, as we call it, into the plant material, the leaves and stems, and also the roots of these plants, so that when the plant is killed and it becomes organic matter that starts to decompose, that sequesters carbon in soil. The carbon that's in that plant biomass, some portion of it will stay in the soil and be an effective greenhouse gas mitigation activity.
So we're talking about greenhouse gases here that are not getting into the system. That means less problems with climate change. Is this a common practice?
Cover crops are not commonly grown in the U.S. At this point, largely because of the cost. At most, we're looking at several percentages of U.S. cropland under cover crops at any given time. If you fly over the Midwest in the spring and you look down, you'll see mostly brown fields prior to being put into plants, put into crops. But occasionally you'll see a green field. And in some cases, that field might be alfalfa, which is a perennial crop, which would stay green all year. In other cases, it would be a field with a cover crop that would then be plowed under and the nitrogen and carbon added back to the soil.
If it's more expensive, I mean, they get an advantage in that they keep more nitrogen in, that's less fertilizer. There's the advantage to the environment because there's less CO2 being released. How much more expensive is it for a farmer?
Well, it's a whole different crop, right? And so you can imagine how much it costs to plant a corn crop. And those upfront costs are also faced by a farmer planting a cover crop. The seeds are not necessarily cheap. And when they're sown in the fall, it takes tractor passes to put them in. And then it takes tractor passes in the spring to mow them and otherwise manage them to make sure they get into the soil.
Well, since the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, we've understood that a cover crop is good for reducing soil erosion as well. So does that not figure into their calculations?
So there are other ways to to manage against soil erosion, although cover crops are certainly the most effective way to do so. Planting cover crops in highly erodible ground or even permanent cover, perennial grass cover, on parts of a field that are at a particular slope is quite common, not as common as it should be. But the bottom line is that from year to year, erosion costs are difficult to assess, and it's difficult to justify planting an entire farm to cover crops to mitigate against erosion, potential erosion losses, when there are other ways to deal with it.
As there's more public pressure on industry and agriculture to reduce the greenhouse gases that are changing our Earth, do you think farmers will reassess maybe in the future cover crops or other mitigation activities like that might become more common?
We know that cover crops are an efficient mitigation activity, as we know that no-till and fertilizer management are equally important. And there's certainly tools in our toolbox for climate change mitigation on the farm. And whether or not they become practices that are employed in the future, I think will depend on where we as a nation put our eggs, so to speak. So that if we are truly interested in mitigating by all means possible, as we should be, then we should be paying farmers for that mitigation capacity. And I think farmers are eager to help. I've never heard a farmer say that they wouldn't do something that's good for the environment if they could afford to do so.
That's Phil Robertson. He's a researcher with Michigan State University, and we are at the Kellogg Biological Station. Thank you.
Thanks very much.